In this episode, I talk with importing expert Manuel Bekvar, where we tackle topics like import expos, product sourcing, and Jimmy Kimmel.
Hello and welcome to the Private Labeler Show, where we are dedicated to helping you take your Amazon business to the next level. Now, here is your host, Nick Landowski.
Hey, everybody, just checking in on you here. Nick here, episode number 3535 of the Private Labeler Show, where we're helping 1,000 amazing people such as yourself start an online business in 2016. So welcome aboard. Glad that you're here. Now, I am super pumped today because on the show, we have the one, the only, Manuel Bekvar, back on the show again for the second time, where he's dropping some more mad crazy knowledge about all things importing and Amazon. So you're going to definitely want to listen from start to finish. There are so many nuggets littered in here to help you, the entrepreneur and the Amazon seller and the e-commerce or private labeler, save money and time and get some knowledge. So like I said, stay tuned to the very end. Lots going on. I'm going to play an interview in just a minute. And real quick, though, what about them Cleveland Cavaliers, everybody? So Golden State Warriors really took it to them the first two games, and it looked like this thing was just going to be a sweep or a blow-up, but Cleveland back at it with a strong punch back. So now it's 2-1. I'm still feeling the Warriors now at this point, though. I still think that they're going to bounce back. I think they're the overall stronger team as far as what I've seen, but let me know what you guys think. So kind of nice to see LeBron and his team actually wake up a little bit. So that way we can get some added basketball action in our lives. So let me know who you guys got. Now, before we jump in, though, I just want to remind you guys to please subscribe to the podcast on iTunes by going to privatelabelershow.com/iTunes. Now, iTunes is just one word, so drop that in there. Please subscribe to the show, leave a review or a comment, and I will read it on a future episode. All right, so let's do this. I am jacked. I'm super excited to play this episode and interview for you guys. And if you have not listened to it yet, the first time Manuel was on the show was episode number 15. So check that out in addition to this episode. Lots of great knowledge in episode 15, all things importing and Amazon. I know you guys, a lot of you guys really loved the content and information and tips that Manuel gave you in there. And the reason why I wanted to have Manuel back on the show is because recently he was extremely busy at a lot of these import expos in the China and Hong Kong area. He's even speaking at one of the Global Sources events. So he was definitely boots on the ground at a lot of these events that hopefully someday you and I and all that, we can all go there and check out some of these importing events and get some extreme benefit from going to them. So he's going to actually break it down as far as like what was going on there and why you, the Amazon seller or the private labeler, would actually want to go to these things in the future. Like, what are the actual benefits to going to some of these events and how it can actually help you in your business long term? So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the recent case study that he just finalized and released a few months back. His Amazon case study, super awesome. Check it out if you haven't yet already. So he's going to tell us about that. He's also going to talk about some of the sourcing services that he provides and why they're cool and how it can actually save you a bunch of money and time, which is awesome. And as if that wasn't enough, Manuel took some time to answer some of your Facebook questions that you guys posted in the Facebook group. So stay tuned to the very end because he's going to answer your questions at the very end. And overall, just tons of value bombs, if you will, all over this episode on ways to do your business better, save some money, save time, and just overall knowledge that he kind of dropped in a lot of different areas. So without further ado, let's get into it. Hey, everybody. Hope you are doing well today out there in podcast land. Today, we have a very special guest making his second appearance on the Private Labeler Show. We loved him so much the first time around, we had to have him back again. So welcome back to the show, Manuel Bekvar from importdojo.com.
Hey, Nick. Thanks again for having me second time around. Happy to be here.
Awesome. Glad that you could be here. So one of the main reasons why I wanted to have you back on the show today was to have you share some of your recent experiences that, you know, I know that you were kind of traveling over to some of these expo events the past few, months or so. Could you just kind of let us know about some of these events as far as like some of your experiences and kind of where you've been the past few months?
Sure. Well, there are two very big exhibition seasons in Asia, or China and Hong Kong. The first one is in April and the second one is in October. So it's pretty much at both dates, it's pretty much the same schedule. There's like shows in Hong Kong, there's shows in Canton, there's shows in Shenzhen. So this is pretty much a busy time for me. And well, what happened in April was I went to, I think, a total of 12 different shows. Most of them were in Hong Kong. So in Hong Kong, you have the Global Sources shows. There are four shows in total from Global Sources, different product categories, for example, consumer electronics, household products, gifts, textiles, and then regular electronics as well. Then we have the second biggest organizer in Hong Kong, which is the HKTDC. It's called the Hong Kong Trade and Development Council. They also host a couple of shows in April, so I went to those as well. It's pretty much similar what Global Sources does. It's also household, gifts and premium, sporting items, electronics. We have lighting. So pretty much every category is covered within Hong Kong. And then I also went to the Canton Fair. Most people know, but just a recap, Canton Fair has three phases. Phase one is mostly electronics. Phase two is mostly household products and gifts and premium. And phase three is like textile, furniture, even food, jewelry and accessory. Okay. So the Canton Fair is over the span of, I think, nearly 3 weeks. So you've got three dates that you have to go there if any of your categories is within that range. And then pretty much else is covered in Hong Kong through Global Sources and the HKTDC show.
So I know you were really busy kind of hitting up a lot of these events, checking them out, probably running into a lot of students or just people in the industry. And I think you even you mentioned that you were actually speaking at the Global Sources event, right? So how did that go and what was that all about?
Correct for both. Met a lot of fellow sellers. I met a lot of industry leaders. And I spoke at the Global Sources Amazon Seller Summit. It was organized by Global Sources. It was over the range of 3 days. And I was the opening speaker, yes, where I presented my case study, but also in general talked about importing from China. Now at the show, at the summit, there were about, I think, close to 100 sellers or becoming FBA sellers who have never been to Asia and just heard of the summit. And it was more or less a training for people who wanted to become Amazon sellers. And there were other great people there, like Greg Mercer from Jungle Scout, Sam Boyd, Guided Imports. We had Anthony from Sonblast, multi-million dollar seller Will Tianlun was there. So yeah, great crowd altogether. So they're doing this again in October, where I'm also invited again as a speaker. And it's pretty much, presentations in the morning on the first day, and then you walk the shows by yourself, but there's also workshops. So, yeah, it was a pretty good and well-organized conference by Global Sources. It was a good time to be there.
Awesome. And then for the average Amazon seller out there listening to this right now, would you recommend that they attend some of these events? Now, I know, obviously, it's kind of geography-wise a little bit difficult for people to get all the way out there, depending upon where in the world you actually are. But would you recommend that the average Amazon seller or just importer, maybe somebody with their own Shopify site selling private label products, whatever, would you recommend that they check these events out? And if so, what can they expect by actually going to some of these events?
Absolutely. I'd recommend anyone who is either, if you're just starting out and maybe you have the capital to come to Asia. I mean, whether you plan selling on Amazon or your own e-commerce store or eBay or Shopify, now is the time really to get into importing and private labeling. Because I see, for example, I see a gradual decline in my offline business. I also sell my products to retailers in Europe, and more businesses switching to e-commerce. Maybe you heard of it. I think every 51 cents in the US is spent online, and I think it's on Amazon. And it's getting tougher and tougher to really just, you know, find a lightweight item, fits into a shoebox, less than 2 pounds, and below, let's say, $3, because everyone's trying that, because a lot of gurus out there tell you to find these type of products. So there's huge competition. And I feel that to really find great product ideas and to build great relationships with suppliers, you actually need to be in Asia. Now, I know it's geographically not ideal for many sellers in the US or Canada, for example. But, I mean, tickets cost from anywhere from, I think, 600 US to, let's say, 1,000. And then if you stay in a budget hotel, I think the whole trip can be done, let's say, 10 days within 2,000 US. And I feel it's totally worth it. Also, if you're just starting out,
or they could just stay at your house, right? save some money.
Yeah, if they want to stay at my 400 square feet apartment, then we're happy. But no, you can get good rates. You can check Airbnb. There's a couple of hostels in and around Hong Kong. You can do it on a budget, and obviously, if you have, let's say, more than 5-6 SKUs already running on Amazon, I mean, it's about time you really come to Asia and, you know, meet your existing suppliers, find new suppliers, and see really the trends that are out there at the exhibitions and be one of the first ones that import those products. Otherwise, you'll be number two or number three if you only source online.
Yeah, I could see that being really cool to actually meet the people that you're kind of talking to behind the scenes through Skype or whatever at the factories, you know, like your contacts and your reps and all that. Cause I know they'll usually message me and say, hey, I'm going to be at these events or whatever. So if I don't respond for the next few days, that's where I'm going to be. That's where our company's going to be showcasing our products. So I think that could be a huge advantage in kind of building that rapport and that relationship on a deeper level to actually meet some of these people that you've been talking to, meet them in person versus, you know, just like a Skype conversation, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's a totally different thing when you actually meet someone in person. You create more trust. That person really gets to know you. And you strike deals, you know, within China. You also have more leverage on negotiation if you're actually speaking to the guy in person rather than sitting behind a computer and trying to get a price down through an email, you know. When you see a person and you meet him at the booth and you say, look, for example, I've been ordering for 6 months now, this is the same price you've been giving me. Come on, I'm here now for you. You know, give me 20 cents less or something like that. Just for example, and that works. You know, when you actually speak to the supplier in person, you get better prices. You further build your relationship, and you get to meet other suppliers, and that's the whole point. You know.
So essentially, yeah, it might cost you a little bit of capital to get out there and attend some of these events, but if you actually can build a better bond with your current suppliers, strike those deals, as you mentioned, it might actually be a long-term savings for you because you're paying less per unit that and getting kind of some more perks out of it. So it could be a really great business investment long-term, correct?
Exactly. I've met a couple of very new FBA sellers who haven't even started on FBA. On Amazon, and they just came out here, you know, look at products, and I've met a few guys who went home with like 20, 30 product ideas, and they've launched since then, you know. Well, it's been more than 2 months, and some of those guys are doing, I mean, there's not always a success story, but some of those guys doing a couple of thousand US already, and it's totally worth it. They told me, you know, I was looking online for like 3 months, I got into paralysis analysis, and I just couldn't figure out a way to start this business. And then I just booked my ticket to Asia, and here I am. And now they are selling successfully.
And I think I want to talk about your case study that you just did. And the last time I know you were on the show, I believe we were talking about what you were doing with your case study. It was kind of in the works, ready to be launched. Since then, it has been launched, and I've had a chance to kind of dig through it. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, you actually got your idea for this product, for this Amazon case study that you released in your course, from one of these fairs or expos, correct?
That's correct. I think I can reveal anyway. It's a French coffee press that I saw at the Canton Fair in October 2015. And I started the project in November after I actually got the prize from the supplier. Now, it's nothing new. The product is not reinvented or anything. it just had a really nice finishing. It's a copper brush. It's a brushed copper finishing, and I haven't seen any of those on Amazon or any other shop. So I thought, wow, it's a really good idea, and I probably would have never seen it online. So it was definitely worth it to see it at the show.
Okay, awesome. So that's another obviously reason why it led to you launching a product that you've seen at the some of these events, and you said, wow, that looks great. It probably looked great in person versus just seeing it in a picture or whatever. But I want to talk about your case study. So you have importdojo.com, and you have obviously a lot of great content on there to teach people about importing and kind of the A to Z through it and selling on Amazon and so on and so forth. And you recently, I think over the past few weeks or months, you released this case study of launching this French press, and you put out a ton of content and a ton of videos, like walking people through virtually every aspect of that process. So since the case study's been out for a little while and your students have had a chance to kind of go through it and digest, you know, what specifically have you learned from this whole process so far?
I think it's been very well received, because I think it's the only case study out there that really walks you through the entire process in a live example. I mean, a couple of people talk about case study and how they send the product to Amazon and how they found it, but they don't really show you, this is how I communicate with the supplier. Here is how I create a purchase order contract. Here is how I do the inspection. Here is how I arrange shipping with the forwarder. Here is how I deliver directly to Amazon, you know. And people really told me, I think it's been out since, well, more than 2 months now, and people really told me, wow, no one has been as thorough as you have in any course they've ever seen. And it's pretty much, you can look over my shoulder how I do every little step. I mean, you can even see me writing emails, and I give comments on why I do things, how I do them. And I've also updated the case study on the blog already. I've actually made two updates already. One was at the end of April, where I mentioned that I went from zero to 7,000 US within 10 days. And, you know, the French coffee press is in one of the most competitive Amazon niches. Hmm. And just last week, I released another update that I'm actually sold out. So I sold out the product within 7 weeks. And now I'm back in stock, only a small quantity, but back in stock now. And the product is going well. The case study has been well received. And I'm really happy I did it. I mean, it could have also gone the other way.
yeah, that's kind of the fear that people have with the case studies. If it bombs, it's like, oh boy, then what, right?
Yeah, and you know, the guy from Import Dojo is doing a case study, and he's talking about how to do everything perfectly. And if it bombs, then yeah, I could have probably closed down Import Dojo.
yeah, exactly. So I mean, how have your students responded to it so far? Whether they're new students or existing students, people in your Facebook group on importdojo.com. I mean, you kind of said it was well received, but have you gotten any further detail or success stories from it so far?
I do. You know, my course includes the case study, and well, there's other modules as well in there. But each new student, for example, he gets also 2 hours one-on-one coaching with me. And I've talked to some of the people who went through, let's say, 60% of the case study already. And, you know, we did share screen calls. And he was showing me how they communicate with suppliers. And they're using all my templates. And they follow the process, and they're like, wow, I've been dealing with Alibaba suppliers before, but this is a whole new level. And this really helps me to understand the market, to understand the supplier, and, you know, to communicate properly, to lay down terms, to know where to go when you ship the product to Amazon, which labels you have to apply, because it's really a step-by-step. I'm not leaving anything out. And, again, students really appreciated the way I've set it up. And again, there's many templates in there that help you along the way. It's really a no-brainer after you've gone through the case study that you should be able to private label your item from China.
Yeah, it's very, very cool. So for all the listeners out there, you go to importdojo.com. And I know that your case study is part of your masterclass program, I believe that's what it's called now. So I don't think it's a free access thing, just to be transparent on that. But how can people get access to this case study? So it's behind kind of the course, right?
It's within the course. There are already three existing modules that I created last year. The other three modules really focus on the import part also, to understand the culture in China, the business in China, also negotiate prices and so on. So I think there's a total of over 100 video tutorials already in there. And the three other modules really support the case study. So once you've gone through the case study, I recommend you to go through the other modules so that you really understand the process in China. It's basically my 17 years of experience in China. Well, it's been 11 years in China, but 17 years since I'm in this industry, put down in all the videos and posts. And yeah, if people really want to have a look, I think you can also post the link on the show notes. It's within my site. It's called the Import Dojo Masterclass. Yeah, feel free to check it out.
Yeah, definitely post the links to this, obviously. Another question for you. I do from time to time get some questions from people or listeners that ask me kind of about like sourcing services. So I noticed obviously on your Import Dojo site that you offer sourcing services for people. Now, I personally have used Guided Imports with Sam. I believe you mentioned him a few minutes back. You know, he's at some of the events. I've used him before for some like negotiations, things like that, talking to suppliers, so on and so forth. But I get people, like I said, on occasion asking about sourcing services, A, whether or not I've used them, or B, like who I recommend or what it's all about, essentially. And I you know, noticed recently that you have a staff now that kind of handles a lot of this. And we were talking earlier, you know, kind of about how that's going. But for the listener out there that is interested in sourcing services, what type of services are you offering currently and how's that all working out? And kind of, can you kind of just lay that out for us? Because I'm rather curious.
Sure. Well, first of all, Sam, I think, offers only a full all-in-one package. So you give him a product idea and he handles everything, including photos, inspection, and so on. We do this also, but on an a la carte base. So our basic package would be, for example, our flat rate sourcing, which means you have a product idea, but you just can't find a supplier, or you don't find good prices, or you're not sure about the supplier. So that's where we come in. You send us a product idea and, for example, a target order quantity, and then we look into our database. We have a huge database that we've collected over the last 11 years in China, and I'd say that 90% of those suppliers are not Alibaba suppliers. Some may be Alibaba suppliers, but these are really background checked and vetted suppliers that we've actually worked with before. So when you send us the flat rate sourcing request, we'll deliver a sourcing report back to you within 5 to 6 working days, and we'll give you our opinion on what the supplier can do for you, why he may be a good choice, why maybe we usually give 2 to 3 supplier options per product. So we'll explain in each sourcing report which supplier would be suitable for you depending on your product and also on the target order quantity or price.
Okay.
Now that's the flat rate sourcing. Then we offer also product development, which means if you already got a supplier, but he, for example, he isn't budging on prices or MOQ, or you need help negotiating prices, or if you need help arranging purchase order contracts, or even if it's an OEM development, we can help with the product development. And then we also have a full service package, similar to what Sam does, but we actually do not include like inspection or logistics or photography. We leave that open to the client. We offer these services in addition, hence our price is also a bit lower than the one from Sam. And what we do in this package is we take the order. We usually ask you to provide the supplier. If you don't have it, we can do the sourcing for you also in that full service package. And then we'll take care of everything, which means we'll arrange the sample, we'll arrange the contracts, we arrange the production, we'll give you prices on logistic costs, we'll tell you which inspection to be used, and we'll help you prep the labels in China with the supplier, and we'll send the order directly to Amazon for you.
Wow, you guys even managed to get it to Amazon for the client, right?
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's how I do it with all my own products. I prep and label and inspect in China. I don't use any of the prepping services in the US. I ship directly from the warehouse off the factory to the Amazon warehouse within, well, if I go by air, within 10 days, and if by sea, maybe within 30 days. So we tell you exactly what you need, and we help you along the way, what you need to put on the customs invoice, which labels we need, and so on. So we really hold your hand all the way. That's the full service package.
Okay, and you mentioned, we were talking before, that you have a full staff now to handle a lot of these things with you, and businesses, you know, kind of really picking up and things are going well. And I'm just kind of curious, like, what are most people that are buying your services or packages right now, what are they tending to go with? And are they new Amazon sellers, or maybe they're already existing sellers, but they just want to save their time and pay somebody to kind of handle some of these nuances? I mean, what's the makeup here?
Most people start actually with the flat rate sourcing. For example, they've been trying to find a suitable supplier. Maybe they've been talking to a supplier for 2-3 months now already, and all of a sudden the supplier you know, doesn't respond anymore or whatever. So most people start with the flat rate sourcing, then we'll deliver the results to the Amazon seller, and then many people actually choose to say, okay, you guys did a great job and I don't feel confident yet to handle the entire order, because maybe I'm a newbie. So could you guys also take care with the full service package? So again, yeah, most people start the flat rate, and some people actually convert into full service package. We have staff with 4 people in total now that do nothing than sourcing and order follow-up, inspection booking, and shipment arrangement, based here in Hong Kong.
Okay, that's awesome. And then you also mentioned you act photography services, right? I mean, I thought that was really cool. I know that's always kind of being thrown around in a lot of like Facebook groups, or does anybody know a good photographer in China or Hong Kong so that they can have it shipped right to it? So you guys even are involved in that, right?
Correct. So we take care of photography. Also, we can save you a lot of money in terms of the shipping costs. If you ship the sample from China to the US and take the photos there, you usually pay a lot more than if you send it just from China to Hong Kong, which is usually like $10 or something. And then I think we have very reasonable prices for our photography. It's done in-house. And just recently, my newest product, also done by our own in-house photography service, and it looks really good. Maybe one thing I should also mention is that we do sample consolidation, which means if you have more than one sample and more supplier, you can send all of the samples from the different supplier to us, to our office in Hong Kong, which saves you a lot of money already, and then we'll ship everything in one box. And we can even tell you, look, for example, you've sent us 5 samples, 4 of those are good, 1 is really rubbish quality or whatever, we don't recommend you to go with the supplier at all. We can also check the sample for you, and you can eliminate suppliers right here and then. So yeah, that's one more thing that we do.
Yeah, that'd be a huge money saver. So for all the listeners out there, basically, if you're working on a new product, maybe it's your first product, second, whatever, and let's say you're trying to get a handful of samples from all these different suppliers, and let's just say you live in the United States, I know a lot of you guys do gripe and complain about how much they're trying to charge you for shipping, and sometimes you just got to pay it or whatever. You know, it might be $50, it might be up to 100, who knows? It kind of depends upon the supplier, the factory. But Manuel, what you're saying is that they can elect to have all of those samples shipped directly to you guys and save a ton of money in the process, and then you guys will kind of get involved along the way to maybe make some recommendations along the way too. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. I mean, people can just go with our sample consolidation and ask us, let's say you have 5 samples from 5 different suppliers, we'll pack them for you, we'll send them to you. But if you want, we can also do, for example, a live Skype call with our team and you, where we actually hold the sample in front of the camera, and we can tell you, look, this is a problem, or this is good, or, you know, we can actually evaluate the sample in live with you through a Skype call. That's an optional service that we do, but to give you an example, we had a customer who had 10 samples from 6 different suppliers, and they were charging him, I think, close to $1,000 for, you know, sending the samples, but also suppliers charge more when you ask for a sample, because they want to evaluate, are you serious with your business, you know, and not just want to get a free sample. So as you said earlier, some suppliers charge $50 or $100 for a small sample, you know. So we'll also cut the costs there, because he only needs to send it to Hong Kong. And that way, I think we saved that guy over 700 US. So eventually he paid 300 US for all of those samples sent directly to him to the US through our consolidation in Hong Kong.
Wow, that makes a ton of sense. So for all the listeners out there, I think if you're on that path, try to save some money, you know, with these types of processes or methods or services that Import Dojo is offering. And then obviously you're offering your sourcing services to anybody. They just got to go to importdojo.com to check these out, right? Like that's where you have all of your packages listed. You mentioned a la carte and different things you offer. So that's all right on importdojo.com, right?
Correct. There is a tab called sourcing service, and you can find all the services that I just mentioned over there. Yeah, just check it out. I mean, I think I've mentioned it. I also want to provide a lot of value to your listeners. So if you're on my site already, check out my blog. There's a few entries that I think could help a lot of people when it comes to importing, customs, duties. There's a lot of guides in there. So a lot of free and I think valuable information on my blog. Check that out too.
Very cool. Okay, so I put a posting in my Facebook group the other day that I kind of just said, hey, we're going to be talking to Manuel. Do you guys have any questions for him? For all you guys that don't know or some of you listeners out there that aren't a member of the Facebook group, just go to privatelabelershow.com/FB. And I got a few questions here for you that I kind of wanted to fire away at you from some of the listeners. And actually, I got a few here. So hopefully we have a few minutes here to kind of tackle some of these. Question for you, I guess, in regards to images, I guess. So there's obviously a lot of copying that goes around on Alibaba when it comes to like images and things like that. And if you have, let's say, all these suppliers all over Alibaba and they're using your like Amazon images on their sites to kind of advertise their products and things like that, do you see that as an issue? Like, should you actually be worried in going to some of these individual Alibaba factories and kind of telling them to take down their images that maybe they're swiping from your Amazon pages and things like that? Or is that something just to not worry about?
I do that, but I can't keep track of all of them. With all my products, I think I've seen at least 50% of my products where suppliers from Alibaba took them as their own product, you know, even with my watermark logo and, for example, the coffee press. I even have a logo on the glass outside, and that supplier was just using it with my brand name on it. And I did send a standard cease and desist letter. Sometimes they apologize and take it down right away, but sometimes they just ignore you. I mean, there's so much you can do to, you know, actually find all of those Alibaba suppliers that copy your product. One thing is for sure. If someone copies it, you've done a great job on the product and on the photos.
So be flattered, if anything?
Be flattered, but I mean, it will happen in China all the time. If you see it, I would send a cease and desist. I even, you know, threaten them with legal action, although there is nothing I can do really, other than just asking them to take it down. And actually, I had one supplier emailing my picture to my customers. And that customer sent me an email saying, hey, isn't that one of your product and then one of your photos? And I was like, oh, yeah, where did you get this? Oh, this supplier sent it to me and said he's offering those items now.
Oh.
And, you know, I reach out to the supplier and I tell him to, you know, immediately remove his listings or whatever from Alibaba or not to do this anymore. But I know I have little chances to sue in China or to take legal action. I mean, you have to have a company in China. You have to have a lawyer in China, and it's just not worth it, you know. I just smile about it and send a cease and desist and do what I can.
Gotcha. Okay. Gotcha. Yeah, I know that the copying is a little rampant there, but couldn't you just actually message Alibaba and say, hey, this is what this particular listing or company is doing, and let them deal with it too?
I do that also at the same time. If the supplier is really like adamant, or if he's really aggressive with promoting my photos, then I would also go on Alibaba. I think there's a tab on Alibaba where you can report copy infringement. But then again, you know, it's also very complicated to fill out the entire form. I did it a few times, and, you know, they reach out probably to the supplier, but they, you know, they give him a slap on the wrist, and that's it. Also not much you can do. You can continue to message them, but again, it's, if that guy takes it down, a few days later, there will be another supplier who does it.
Okay, good to know. So for all the listeners out there, I guess just be flattered, if anything, and don't invest too much of your time fighting off some of these issues here. So the next question that I have actually comes from Francis from the Facebook group, and I'll kind of just read it almost verbatim, word for word here. He says, just curious, what is the best way to import products from China to the USA? For a long time, everyone has been saying that air is the best option. However, lately, many of the experts have been saying to import by sea. For orders of 500, 1,000, 2,000, 4,000, should I be importing by sea or air? And then if sea, is Forest the standard freight forwarder? So it's kind of a general question about the shipping options and things like that. But if you could just address that for Francis, that'd be awesome.
Sure, Francis. Well, my background is from the retail, so we never shipped anything by air because we shipped huge volumes, you know, containers. So you don't ship by air at all. So you don't even think about that. But I know that many Amazon sellers ship like less than 2 or 3 cubic meter, maybe less than 1,000 kilo, or let's say less than 2,000 pounds in that case. So I would say anything below 1,000 kilo makes sense to ship by air. And the rest by sea, because at some point it gets just too expensive to ship by air. Just an example, just recently, let's take a look at my French coffee press. The 1,008 units that I initially ordered, I sent in by air. I paid about, correct me if I'm wrong, $3.50 per kilo, which was a pretty good rate, actually. Now, if I would have ordered, let's say, 4,000 pieces, I would end up with a rate of $6 per kilo, which brings down my profit margin quite a lot. Now, what I've done next is I sent my next few shipments, I've sent in by sea, because right now I've just restocked 200 pieces, so that should, without doing any PPC or promotion, that should last me for about 4 weeks. And after those 4 weeks, I ordered another 2,500 pieces that will come by sea. So I would suggest, if your shipment is not too heavy, go by air. And then if you see it goes well, immediately reorder, but reorder by sea. And that usually drives down the costs like 40-50% minimum. And once your, let's say, air stock is sold out, ideally your sea shipment comes in. And then you should plan accordingly in the future that all your future shipments come in by sea. Having said that, very often if you have small quantities, forwarders will not accept sea shipment. For example, if it's less than a cubic meter or less than 200 or 300 kilos, it just doesn't make sense. You know, the forwarder has just too much work with it. There is no profit in it for them. And the cost will nearly be the same or sometimes even more expensive than shipping by air. And, you know, you save 20 to 25 days if you go by air. Now, onto the question of who is the standard in shipping. I know Forest Shipping, but I wouldn't say they're a standard. They're just one out of 500 different providers, you know. Mm-hmm. For example, I use, I think you're also using her. Not sure if I can mention the name here, otherwise she gets overrun.
Just don't mention it necessarily. If anybody wants to find out, they can just message me or you individually.
Yeah, they can message me. What I do, I have my own forwarder who I've trained for like, I think, 2 years to actually pick up the goods from the warehouse in China and deal with the entire communication with customs, import tax, you know, regulations and so on. So she picks up the goods at the warehouse in China and sends it directly to Amazon. All I have to do is pay her the fee after 2 weeks whenever the goods arrive at Amazon. And she's also just one out of 500 different providers. So I guess Forest Shipping is doing a good job, but there are many, many others out there who are doing a similar good job. And, you know, sometimes I had to train my forwarder, but I have now really, really good prices. And she is very familiar with the whole Amazon booking appointments process. She palletizes all my shipments, you know. you just have to train it. But forest shipping, I know, is very specialized on Amazon shipments.
Okay, excellent. So, Francis, if you're listening, hopefully that was satisfactory. Let us know. So thank you for that. And then I have a question from Michael here. Michael had some issues with the packaging on an order or some orders that he placed. So apparently, whenever they're placing the orders, and he's having it shipped right to his house or his home or his office from China or wherever. And when they're getting it, a lot of the units when they're arriving, like the units themselves inside the boxes or whatever, are just not quality. Like there's issues with that. So they have to like constantly repackage things. It's just a big mess, really. So he wants to know, how can you validate the packaging quality, both the unit and shipping boxes of a new supplier? He says their contact there would send them pictures of how they wanted it. But when the units, essentially when they get everything, it doesn't actually pan out to what they're showing. So they're sending them pictures saying, hey, this is what it's going to look like. And actually when they're getting it, it's not satisfactory for whatever reason. So do you have any advice for him on that? Or I imagine you have some experience with packaging and trying to make sure everything gets set up correctly, right?
Absolutely. First of all, I recommend him to look on my blog. There's an entry called Best Packaging Practice, How to Create a Great Private Label Packaging. And within that entry, I also give advice on what is the ideal material for the carton, for the cardboard. So, for example, in his case, first of all, I'm suspecting he doesn't do an inspection, because the inspector would already see during the inspection that the material of the carton, or maybe the quality of the product inside, is not what he ordered. So the inspector can make sure that the product is really up to the quality and the requirements that, was it Michael? Michael, right?
Yeah, Michael.
That Michael ordered. So that's one thing he needs to do in the future, inspections. They can cost from anywhere from $100 for very simple products up to $300-$400. And then the next thing I would do is I would look at the cardboard material that he is using now on his product, but also his export carton. Now, I'm assuming, because it's quite, you said it's damaged or the quality is not so good, that the supplier is using something like maybe E or B flute. Those are cardboard standards. So I recommend him to use C flute or even double wall C and B flute in the future. Again, he can look on my blog entry, Best Packaging Practice, where I really go in depth on also the strength of the cardboard and the corrugated fiberboard. So he can look that up and make sure that the supplier uses a different standard in the future. One more thing he could do, if the product inside is damaged, I would also print, I actually do that on all of my products, even if this product is sensible or not, I print fragile, handle with care onto the packaging. On the export carton. So you can give the supplier a shipping mark that says fragile, handle with care, please print that on the export carton, which means not just the supplier will handle it with care, hopefully the forwarder or the logistics company also handles it with care. And that should also minimize damage when the goods arrive in the U.S.
Wow, some really good tips there. That's very, very helpful and very informed. So, Michael, hopefully you head on over to that blog, importdojo.com, and check out what he said there. Hopefully that will help you out. And if not, let us know. Maybe I didn't handle the question correctly or throw it out there. But seems to me, getting an inspection and just kind of tidying a few things up with the packaging. So thank you for that. And trying to wind things down here, Manuel, I know you're a busy guy and do appreciate all the time you give us. But I do just have one last quick question here before we kind of wrap things up.
Sorry, we're out of time. no, that's the line from, was it the line from, is it Jimmy Kimmel with Matt Damon?
Oh, yeah. He says, you know, he's always said that, and I don't watch Kimmel that much, but whenever I would watch it towards the end, I'm like, why does he keep saying that? And then it dawned on me, he says it every episode, right?
Yeah, sorry, Matt Damon, we ran out of time. Anyway, no, sorry, please go ahead, Nick.
Very cool. So I guess I do get questions a lot of times when people are saying, hey, I'm talking to suppliers and things like that, getting some quotes, and they want some different pricing options. And then people ask me, like, what types of options should they be getting? Should they get EXW pricing and FOB pricing every single time, or just ask for a general price? I mean, what would you recommend that they ask for when they're getting their price quotes from some of these suppliers that they're talking about?
Right. Two ways to approach this. First of all, some suppliers who cannot offer X work because they do not have an export license. So a factory has to have an export license to actually quote you, FOB. So if the supplier does not have an export license, he cannot quote FOB, which means you have to go with either one anyway. X work is usually cheaper because the supplier does not have to send the goods to, let's say, the port or the airport and issue the customs documents. Again, if he doesn't have an export license, he can't do that anyway. So if you're already sure, let's say you go by air freight or air express, I would always go with X work because then usually you save a couple of dollars. Well, usually it's more like 50 or 100 US dollar on the freight cost, which means your forwarder will pick up the goods at the factory and your forwarder will arrange the entire transport from the factory to the US. Now, if you're looking at how to get also different pricing, don't just look at X work or FOB, also look at different ranges of quantity. Now, for example, if I have a quote of this product and I already have in my mind, okay, I'm going to order 1,000 pieces of, let's say, whatever, a Bluetooth speaker, I want to know what is the range that I could possibly get a better price. So I will initially ask the supplier, with in the back of my head, I'm only going to go for 1,000. But I will ask him, please quote me a price of 1,000, 3,000, and 5,000 pieces. And then I can sort of see the range, what the supplier is able to offer within those quantities. And then eventually, when I'm ready to place the order, I will say, look, I'm going to test the order with 1,000 pieces, but I would like to go for the price for 5,000 pieces, you know. The supplier will probably say, sorry, we can't give you this price. And then you go back to him and say, all right, just for cooperation purposes and to support each other on the first order, can you give me the price for 3,000 units, you know, even though I only order 1,000? So I think in 90% of the time it works, or at least you get a price lower than the 1,000 pieces that was initially quoted to you. So I think that's also an approach that people could try when they're looking at to get better prices.
Awesome. Awesome. So that's good stuff there. Hopefully some of the listeners out there take that and run with it. And we really appreciate that. So Facebook questions, guys, thank you so much again. PrivateLabelershow.com/FB. If you're not a member, go there and subscribe or join up and get involved in the conversation there. So Manuel, I'm going to kind of wind things down here. And I'm just kind of curious. I mean, I know you had a lot going on, obviously, in April and May. You had your case study that you were launching. I'm sure you're launching new products on Amazon. You got a lot going on right now. You had some speaking engagements at Global Sources. Just a really busy guy. But what are you working on right now? We're in June right now. And I'm just kind of curious, like, what's next for you, or what are you currently diving into?
Well, I have about 5 new products in production right now, all products that I saw at the show in April. So again, guys, it's a really good thing to go to the exhibitions because you find a lot of ideas there. So I have 5 new products coming up with my business partner. I'm also working on a Kickstarter project, which will be a garden tool, and will release the Kickstarter project in mid-July. And then I'll hopefully ship also a couple of units of that product to Amazon later on. And I'm working on new product ideas that I will launch on Amazon. And in August, I will actually be on my first holiday in 2.5 years since starting my own business.
Nice.
For 4 weeks, I'm going back home to Europe. Obviously, I will still be working. You never really take a break when you're self-employed. But it's fun. Don't get me wrong.
You're going back to Austria?
Yes, I'm going back to Austria with my wife. We're spending some time with my family and friends. And I've also got a speaker engagement in Hamburg, Germany, on the 3rd of September, organized by the biggest German Amazon seller group. And middle of September, I'll be back in Asia. And then kind of have to prepare again for the exhibition season in October. all while hopefully launching more products on Amazon. So really focusing on Amazon these days, focusing on my sourcing business. And also I'm trying to branch out into other channels. I'm selling to retail, I'm selling on Amazon. I'm trying to reopen my own e-commerce site. It's kind of been dormant for the last 1.5 years, so I'm looking into that also. So yeah, lots of things going on. Very exciting.
Very awesome. Yeah. Keeping busy, as you said, as an entrepreneur, you're always working, always doing something, as long as you got the laptop and the Wi-Fi, right?
Correct. Absolutely.
Awesome. So thank you so much. I know how busy you are, and it really means a lot to me and the listeners that you could spend a few minutes with us again on the Private Labeler Show podcast. Really appreciate that. And we all know that we can find you at importdojo.com, right?
That's right. Please, everyone, if you have questions from the show or even not related to the show that we just did, reach out to me. Be happy to answer anything that I can.
Awesome. So we'll put that in the show notes, of course, guys. So check it out at privatelabelershow.com. Take a look for this episode. We'll put, like I said, everything we mentioned in here, we'll put in the show notes for you guys to link to and things like that. So Manuel, thank you so much, man. Appreciate it. Best of luck to you in all these future endeavors that you're going on. I'm sure we'll talk soon. And again, thank you. Thank you so much.
Same to you, Nick. Thanks a lot for having me.
Take care. Bye. Hey, I was wondering if you could do me a quick favor. If you listen to this podcast episode on iTunes, Stitcher, or even YouTube, could you please leave me a quick review or a quick upvote? It would be greatly appreciated and go a long way to helping me reach my goal of helping 1,000 people start an online business in 2016. Thank you and talk soon.